Kala Perek Dalad Mishnah Zayin deals with a part of land called Syria to the north of Eretz Yisrael, modern-day Syria, Lebanon. This was a territory that was conquered by David HaMelech and added to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, but it was not technically originally part of Eretz Yisrael proper. So the Chazal give it some of the halachos of Eretz Yisrael and some of the halachos of Chutz La'aretz. Yisrael Shahayu Arisin Lagoyim B'Syria. If there are Jews who were sharecroppers on non-Jewish-owned fields in Syria. So, sharecroppers in the Mishnah get a percentage of the crops at the end of the year that they work on, half or a quarter or a third, but they don't have any ownership stake in the land itself. Rabbi Eliezer, Mechayev Perosein, B'maisro Subashvias. Rabbi Eliezer says, even though they're not landowners, but they're growing in Syria, which has the halacha like Eretz Yisrael. So their peros are going to be chayev to have maisros taken out, and to have the halachos of Shemitah applied to them as well. He's machmir and treats it like Eretz Yisrael. And the Yerushalmi says, as a knas for them, for sharecropping on land, that should preferably be Jewish-owned since it's connected to Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Gamliel poter. But Rabbi Gamliel disagrees, and he says it's poter from Meiser and from Shemitah Halachos, because this land is not Jewish-owned at all, it's Goyish-owned, and we treat it like Chutzal Aretz, and say that the only when the land belongs to a Jew is there really an issue here. That would be the only time that we would treat it like Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, we treat it like Goyish land. It's not your problem. So he's Mekil. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shtei Chalos B'Syria. But Rabbi Gamliel does say that for somebody who makes a dough out of grains grown in Syria, he has to take out two portions of Chalo, which is an issue we'll discuss in Mishnah Ches in just a moment in the following Mishnah. Chalo that comes from Chutz La'aretz, according to Gezeras Chachamim at the time, had two portions of challah taken out. One that was burnt, because the assumption was that all of Chutz La'aretz was Tamei. There are discussions about how there are dead bodies buried everywhere in Chutz La'aretz, so one may not realize it, but one may be Tamei anyway. And so as a result, the challah should be burnt rather than given to a Kohen. But a second portion, Derabbanan, was taken off and given to a Kohen in Syria so that he then could eat it, despite the fact that it was challah tameh, and usually that would mean that it would be burnt, but it's all a chutz la'aretz gzera so that the mitzvah of challah is not forgotten and not gone by the wayside. So Syria is treated like chutz la'aretz for this double challah portion. Rabbi Eliezer omer challah achas, but Rabbi Eliezer says, I continue to treat it like Eretz Yisrael, and so only one challah portion needs to be separated out. So the people of Syria saw an opportunity, and they seized on to both kulos, one of Rabbi Gamliel, that Syria fruits were not chayiv in maisros or shmita, and the other kula of Rabbi Eliezer, that you only had to take out one challah portion. But that was inconsistent, because it should be either one or the other. So chazru linho kedivrei Rabbi Gamliel b'shtei derachim. Instead, they returned and abandoned all the kulos, and instead said, we'll passing like Rabbi Gamliel for everything. Syria will be treated like Eretz Yisrael, like Chutz La'aretz, for the two challah portions, which is a chumrah, but it will be treated like Chutz La'aretz as well for this non-Jewish owned land, with no maisros and no Shemitah being chayev either, also like Chutz La'aretz. And so they went with one kula and one chumrah like Rabbi Gamliel. Mishnah Ches, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Shalosh Arotzos L'Chala. Rabbi Gamliel identifies three distinct territories where Chala must be taken, all of them in the area in and around Eretz Yisrael. So there are going to be one that is Eretz Yisrael proper, one that is historic Eretz Yisrael, but the borders changed. When the Galus Bavel ended after 70 years and Ezra brought the Jews back, they didn't fill up the complete boundary that biblical Eretz Yisrael used to be. As a result, there's kind of an in-between territory that was once Eretz Yisrael, but not anymore. And a third territory, which was basically Chutz La'aretz, which has a different halacha. So the halachas of challah change depending on where you're growing your produce and making your dough. May Eretz Yisrael v'ad keziv challah achas. From Eretz Yisrael proper, all the way north until a town called Keziv, which was essentially the northern border of Eretz Yisrael, one challah portion is taken out, as is the original mitzvah. The original mitzvah really only refers to Eretz Yisrael in the Torah. It says when you live ba'aretz, Then you'll take out Chala, Tarimu, Saruma. So that's talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Kaziv is an interesting town. It's a little further north than the usual northern border. Most of the northern border is parallel to a town called Akko, but there's a small strip of land from Akko to Kaziv that goes a little bit further north, and so up until the edge of that strip of land is considered to be Eretz Yisrael. Biksiv va'ad hanohar va'ad amono shtei chalos. On the other hand, the second area, that's a kind of overlap area, transitional area, is from Kaziv until the river. And this is a river further to the east, getting into the Middle East proper, near Damascus, and going to the west until Amona, which is a mountain in northwest Eretz Yisrael, almost Lebanon. There you take out two chalos, achas la'ur v'achas la'kohen. One chala portion is sent to the fire and burnt, like chutz la'aretz chala, because technically it is tameh, and you throw it out. As a result, this area is considered to be somewhat chutz la'aretz-like, because in the days of Yehoshua, it was part of Eretz Yisrael, but in the days of Bavel, it ceased to be. But the achas la'kohen, a second chala portion, is given to the kohen to eat, even though technically it's tameh, but it's only chala midrabanan, as part of a remembrance of the mitzvah of chala. Shel ur Yesh Loshir. Now, the proportion that is thrown into the fire to be burnt in this region has the shear of challah, which is either 1/24th or 1/48th, depending if you are a professional baker or not, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. B'shel Kohen Ein Loshir. But since this area was once proper Eretz Yisrael, and it's now Chutz La'aretz Ish, and we're treating it Chutz La'aretz Ish to have a second challah out, then the challah that's given to the Kohen is just symbolic. So you can give him just a smidge without it having to be chayev in ordinary biblical challah. Now the third area is min ha-nahar u-min amona v'lifnim, from the river that we mentioned all the way on the east, and from amona on the west, and inward. But really this means continuing on outward everywhere else in the world. So this area, this third area, is all chutz la'aretz. That has to have shtei chalos, two challah portions taken out. Achas la'ur, one that's thrown into the fire and burnt, which is the real challah portion, va'achas la'kohen, and one that's given to the kohen as a kind of derabonon. Shel ur ein lo shir. Now in chutz la'aretz proper, the part that you burn doesn't have to have a shir. It can be a minimal, tiny smidge of dough. You just burn it as the challah. But just as min ha-Torah, there's no real shir for challah. V'shel kohen yesh lo shir. But this rabbinic portion that were given to the kohen as sort of a zecher, this one we take out 1/48th, the smaller of the shiurim that one ordinarily takes out for challah. And it's good to give a little extra to the kohen so that it will be eaten and not burnt. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Since somebody's going to eat this, make it a little more. Now, there are kulas attached to this second kind of challah. U'tvul yom ochla, says the Mishnah, somebody who is a tvul yom, went to the mikvah and is just waiting for Harav Shemesh, for the end of the day, for nightfall, and he will automatically become tahar when the night arrives. He can eat this kohen challah, if he's a kohen, because the challah is only midrabanan and it has a quasi-tumah status anyway, and so does he at the moment. So we're mekil for him and let him eat it a little early. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino Tzarech Tvila. Rabbi Yossi is even more mekil, and he says he doesn't even have to tevil. He can just eat it even if he's just waiting for Harav Shemesh, and he didn't even go to the mikveh yet, he can eat it. Because again, this isn't technical challah like you would have in Eretz Yisrael. But there are limits. V'asur lazamin v'lazavos. This challah is us for a kohen to eat if he is a tumas zav, or his wife to eat if she is a zava, la nidos if she is a nidav, la yoldos or if she gave birth and wasn't tovel yet. In all of these cases, they are an av hatuma, and we will not allow an av hatuma to eat this challah, even though it is a sort of quasi tamei quasi tahar challah. V'ne'echelas im hazor al hashulchan. But one more kula, we do allow it to be eaten by a kohen at the same table as a non kohen. Inside Eretz Yisrael, we don't let a non kohen eat at the same table where a kohen's eating his challah for fear that he's going to take from the challah portion, and a zar is not allowed to take from the challah portion. But since this challah portion is only midrabanan, we're not worried as much about the zar eating it. Veniteness lechol kohen. And furthermore, you can give this extra challah portion to any kohen, even an am haaretz, who's not careful with tahara. In Eretz Yisrael, when you give real challah portions to a kohen, it has to be a chaver, somebody who's very careful with taharos, that he's not going to make it tameh or eat it in tumah. That would be a big problem. The definition that's frequently given is that he even eats his chulin in tahara. But this challah that we're talking about in chutz laaretz, we allow the extra kula of giving it even to an Am HaAretz.